Man. Okay. So I'm gonna draw a man here. Here's your new man in Christ. I could draw a girl too. So this new man in Christ, we're gonna label it Simul Justus et Peccator. Simul Justus et Peccator. All right, so put on this side Justus, and on this side Peccator. All right, when you're born again, you get a new heart, new spirit. Amen. So you're a brand new creature. Creation. We call that justification by faith. So you're born again, not by works. And so if you do any works, if you work out any works, they're done by faith. They're done by grace. We don't walk by, we don't work or walk or do anything except by faith. So those deeds that are wrought in God are deeds that are wrought by faith. You didn't do them. Faith means you didn't do them. If you have faith in someone else, it's not faith in yourself, so you didn't do them. So you didn't walk and you didn't work and you didn't do anything. God did it. And so the new man in Christ is simul justus et peccator, which is the Lutheran formula for the Reformation. Martin Luther didn't invent this idea, though he did invent this phrase that a man is simultaneously at the same time justified and sinful. So that's a description of, in fact, the Christian. Before God, he's justitia Dei. He's inside and under the justice of God. But before men, in his actual life, he is often peccator or sinful. So a man is at the same time a sinner and a saint. Or a saint and a sinner, or saints still sin. So even though you're a saint, you're a saint only in the sense that you have a new heart. And then your working out of that new heart is spotty. A bride without spot, you still got some spots. You're a bride and your heart has no spots, but your soul and your body still has spots. Is that Are you with me so far? So, simul justus, right hand, et peccator, left hand. All men are still peccator, including Christians, in their soul and body. But only Christians, justus, have been justified by faith. Justus. So, that justification by faith in the Greek language in the New Testament, that's dikaiosune, or dikaios. So now I'm going to illustrate it because it explains all the problems of the church and all the problems of this world with Christians, is that Christians are only born again in the spirit. So I'm going to write spirit, and then I'm going to write, because I'm in a Reformation mood right now, I'm going to write donum, which means gift. And then over here, I'm going to write soul. And here, I'm going to write donum totum, total gift. And here, I'm going to write donum partum, partial gift. Okay? So, and then I'll put the body over here, or your walk, and your body, or your behavior, or your walk, the outward part of you, is donum partum. All right? So, donum partum. So, only one part of you is donum, totum. Only one part of you is totally clean, totally righteous, totally pure. Now, there's three different Greek words for these aspects here. When you're spiritually born again, in the Greek, I'm going to write it, I know you can't read it, but dikaios, dikaios, all right? So dikaios, and then that is your imputed righteousness by faith alone. And then, number two, we have in the soul, we have hagios, 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 and that is donum partum. You're not completely yet pure in your soul. You still have some spots and wrinkles. Okay? And then doxa, doxa, that is the same like doxology. That's also donum partum. And that's another Greek word for righteousness. So all three of them are the word holy, but they're three different aspects of holiness. This one is spiritual, holy. This one is soulish or psychological, holy. And this one is physical or outward or behavioral, holy. So deeds. All right, so now you have the Holy of Holies, the holy place, and the outer court, all three. You all following that? Okay. So now, a man, once he's born again, is simul justus et peccator. Okay? So, I'm going to make a line around that, a box around that. A man is simul justus et peccator. And coram Deo, before God, he's seen as justus on this side, the right side of God. So I'll put God's hand up here. Put God's hand here. That's God's right hand. And over here on God's left hand, okay, there he's peccator, he's still sinful. So God rules the world with his left hand under law. So I'll put a little Ten Commandment thing here. Law with a sword underneath it to enforce it. And so he rules the sinners with his left hand. And over here we'll make a little cross. Cross here, he rules the church with his right hand, and all other religions of the world, they're ruled with his left hand, even though they're put on the right hand, because God doesn't put religion under the civil government. So even so, he rules it with his left hand, because he has religion under his left hand too. But I always put it over on the right hand, because in America all religion is free from the government, but in other countries it's not. So that's why it's confusing. But I'm not confused, so I don't want you to be confused. So don't be confused. Listen carefully. You can, where you put the church is critical. Where you put the church is critical. You could put the church under the spirit, or you could put it under morals, or you could put it under political. A political church is a state church. That's a whore. A moral church or a natural church is also going to be a whorish church. Only a spiritual church, which is based on the individual worshiping God according to his own conscience, that would be the only place to put it, but that is not where men put it. Normally, they put the church under the state or even separate from the state, but still the state likes to regulate certain aspects of the church, which means then it's not free. So even though we talk about freedom of religion, there isn't any. Freedom of religion is just a word. It has no reality. And so, but I'll get to that later. First of all, I want to look at the individual. The individual is always simul justus et peccator, which is Latin for, at the same time, a sinner and a saint. Now, the Bible calls it like this, old man, new man. So my old man, that's peccator still sinning. But my new man, that's justified. That's the reason you pay taxes. You pay taxes because you're still a citizen of this world, even though you're a Christian. Now, you don't pay taxes as a Christian. There's no tax in heaven. Heaven doesn't tax its subjects. Heaven gives gifts, doesn't take money. So you can tell the difference between heaven and earth right there. Because on the earth, they take, they don't give. Now supposedly they give you something in exchange for that. For example, they punish bad people and let the good people go and protect them. But that's not in fact what happens. often the government becomes the bad person that it's supposed to be protecting you against, and it actually punishes you and burdens you and blesses itself. So a lot of the politicians are corrupted and bribed, and they actually haven't done their job at all. So if it weren't for Christians being involved in politics, we'd probably have a completely corrupt system, but Christians still are somewhat involved. But they're not very effective, unfortunately, because they don't know where to put the church. And so, you know, the problem today in the world is that no one can talk clearly. No one is able to describe these things with clarity. Why can I do it? Well, I can do it because I'm reading the Bible. That's all. It's in the Bible. But people's traditions, when they read the Bible, they read it through a Presbyterian eyeball, or they read it through an American eyeball, or they read it through a Catholic eyeball. Well, I don't. I'm not interested in any of those human denominations. So what you need is truth, and only truth is going to set you free. So the Christian is free as a king. Now, a king is free. In the old days, a king was above the law. He made the law, he enforced the law, and he was above the law, and he could break the law. So a king could do anything he wanted. He could rape all his subjects. He could, you know, he could just do anything. He could make up a law, and then he could disobey it himself. That's part of being a politician. A politician has laws for you, but not for himself. He can have a prostitute on the side because that's part of the Washington, D.C. and Austin deal. So if you go to Austin and you're a representative, they're going to get you on pedophilia or on something or other, take pictures of you, and then they control you. And then you're not able to serve the people even though you wanted to. And so they're able to easily bribe because every man has his weakness. Why? Because he's Simul Justus et Peccator. Even though he's got a just side, he's got an unjust side. Even though he's got a nice side, he's got a nasty side. And each of us have the same thing. So you can throw stones if you wish, but you got to look inside yourself to see whether or not you are not Simul Justus et Peccator as well. So in your faith, you're pure. In your spirit, you're pure. In there you're justified, that is, dikaios, completely perfect, absolutely no spots, no wrinkles, no such thing. However, you've still got a soul and a body, and in your soul and body, sometimes you get angry at people. Well, that's a body responding to soul. The anger's in the soul, and the body expresses it by punching or running or kicking or biting or whatever you do when you're angry. So you can see that the problem for the church is it can't figure out what it is. So some people say, I'm the righteous of Christ. That's kind of a teaching. Well, that would mean you were all righteousness. Well, that's a lie. I don't have any sickness. Well, you're sick. I mean, so you're playing all kinds of games here when you can't make the division of, yes, you're pure here, but you're not pure here. So I make those distinctions because otherwise you won't grow up. So most of the faith teachers can't grow people up. What they can do is get them saved and get them happy, and but they don't all get airplanes, you know. And so it isn't going to work out, and it'll collapse sooner or later. All those churches will fall down, fall apart. Benny Hinn, Ken Copeland, you know, all of them. They'll all collapse. Why? Because they're built on faulty theology. They don't have this view, Simul Justus et Peccator. And for that reason, their theology is wrong and bad and evil. Now, that doesn't mean everything is wrong and bad and evil. I'm just saying they've got the Justus down, that you're born again by faith. They got that down. But when it comes to sanctification, they don't have that down. You have many divorces among them because they don't have any sanctification. You have you know, all kinds of corruptions among them because they don't have sanctification. They're just on justification. If I'm just born again, that's enough. Yes, it's enough to be saved in the sense of God loves you, but it's not enough to save your soul. Your soul didn't get saved. You got spots or wrinkles, and then you're going to have to argue with Jesus about whether he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, I'm not making a judgment. I'm just simply pointing something out that I myself am not happy with that facile, well, I'm born again, so it's okay, I can sin all I want. I'm not happy with that. I don't know if that's true. And I don't want to say that they're going to hell, and I don't want to say they're not Christians, but I do want to say this. They missed it. You know, regardless of where they're going to end up in hell or heaven or whatever, I just want to say, I don't care. It's not Christian teaching and preaching, and you shouldn't teach and preach it. So that part I'm right on. Whether they're in heaven or not, I don't know. Whether they're Christian or not, I'll let God decide. But I do know they have some truth, but I say they have a lot of lies, and it's up to me to at least teach the truth rather than worry about rebuking them. I'm not interested in rebuking them. I'm only interested in pointing out that's not good teaching. They didn't teach rightly or correctly. Simul Justus et Peccator, that's the truth. A man is at the same time a sinner and a saint. Well, how can you be both? Well, because you have an old man and a new man. Put off the old, left hand, put on the new, right hand. So obviously, there is a difference inside of you. Your spirit is completely new. Your soul is becoming new. Your body is not yet new at all. Now, that doesn't mean some of the behavior isn't expressing what's going on in your soul. But don't think your behavior is being coming out of your spirit. It's not. One doesn't go directly to three. It's got to go through two. So most of your behavior is dictated by two, not one. Okay? So the only reason you go to church, for example, is not because you're born again. You're going to church because you're in that area of your soul, you decided, I need to go to church today. In that area of your soul, you thought, well, I'm a Christian. That's where I belong. Well, however you did it, if you do it by faith, you're a Christian. If you do it by outward, just behavioral modification, you're a hypocrite. And then you still got your spots and wrinkles, and you just fooled yourself. Going to church, you might as well stay at home and watch TV or laid in bed. So you've got to be careful because you don't get any credit for your walk. You're not going to go to heaven because of your walk. You're going to heaven by faith. But faith should be walking. It should be talking. It should be acting. It should be active in love. So where are the works of love today? Well, they're not in the church. A work here, a work there, but a lot of it's hypocrisy. A lot of the works of the church are actually hypocritical. How can you tell? Well, because someone will try to get a little glory when they do it. You know, and they'll put a big, you know, brochure out, how many kids they saved or how many orphans they, whatever. And they're just raising money. And it's very hard to tell that there's no spot in there. That they're not getting, because they have their pictures big and they don't have Jesus' picture big. That always makes me suspicious. That they're more interested in paying for their $50 million a month budget than they are actually healing the sick and so on. They're just using the sick and the stuff just to keep that thing going so they can make a name for themselves. I'm sorry I had to say it that way, but I'm going to say it that way because that's what I believe. And I believe God believes it too. I'm not mad at them. I don't care. They can do it all day long. Doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't stop me from being a Christian. Doesn't stop me from rejoicing in God. I'm not even angry at them. I'm just simply saying it's not Christianity. So you've got to be careful. Even the appearance of evil is evil. So that makes it really tough because sometimes I didn't do anything evil, but I appeared to be evil. Therefore, you have to, you know, deal with that too. So God wants us to realize that at the same time that you have a new man, you have an old man. And you are daily then dying to the old man and releasing or resurrecting the new man. So to the extent that you recognize that there's a sinful side to you, even though you're a Christian, and you're the righteousness of Christ based on dikaios, but you're not the righteousness of Christ based on hagios or doxa. So in your soul, in your spirit, you're not the righteousness of Christ. Can you see those up there? I can put numbers on them if you want, so I can be real clear. I love to say A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, because then it makes it very clear what we are and aren't talking about. So let's make this one 1, Roman numeral 1, make this one 2, Roman numeral 2, and this one 3, Roman numeral 3. So even though I'm a Christian, here's a Christian, he's born again, I'm only a Christian to an extent. Donum totum, spiritually, 1. Donum partum, 2 and 3. Soul and body. So how many know that it says, keep your spirit, soul, and body pure until the day of Jesus Christ? Well, for it to be pure, it has to be pure. If you're going to keep it pure, it's got to be pure. And so there's a lot of not pure, so they're not maintaining it pure. You're losing it all the time because there's no preaching done on this area here, the practical side of Christianity. All the preaching's over here to get people saved and then stay happy all the time. And that's what churches do, is they entertain people who are Christian so that they don't notice the fact that they're getting a divorce, or they don't notice the fact that they're sick or depressed, or they don't notice the fact that they're broke, or they don't notice the fact that they're mean, or, you know, they're just not paying attention to that. So you don't go to church to get your lives changed. You just go to the feel good, feel good, feel good, feel good. So most churches are just feel good churches. I'm not mad. I'm just talking. I'm not mad at all. In fact, I'm not mad at all. But I don't like false teaching. And so the Reformation, what changed the Reformation was a man is free to be a king. Okay? Number one is you're a king. Okay? Number one, you're a king. So I'm going to put a little crown there that your kingship is not of this world. We got a kingdom not of this world. So here I'm going to put a little crown here and call you a king. Okay? However, even though as a king, I'm free. I've got the dignity of the office of king. You're a lord of the earth. Everybody that's a Christian is a lord of all. He's lord over everything. I'm the lord of all. Okay? So there I am. And I'm also free. So I have dignity and freedom. Here's my freedom. Here's my dignity. I'm free from the law. Nobody can restrain me. Nobody can stop me. I'm a free man in Christ. Amen? If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You're a royal priesthood, right? Okay, now watch this. Priesthood, however, you're bound. So even though I'm free as a king, as a priest, I'm a servant. So now I'm going to write down here, I'm Lord of all. Here I'm going to put down, I'm servant of all. Because this king and priest are one and the same. But here, by voluntary, no one's making me do it, I'm in bondage because I'm serving everybody. So even though I'm a king to be served, I'm actually, like Jesus said, I'm not among you as one who is free to do anything he wants to do, because that would be licensed. But I'm free to be a servant. In other words, I'm a king to be a priest. So a priest is a servant of the people, giving them mercy and grace and so on. And there, I voluntarily, like Jesus, serve everybody. And that's love. What is that but love? What is that but love? Even though I'm free, Christ has forgiven me all my sins. Yahoo! There's no more law over me. Yahoo! So I'm a king and I'm free. And I've got dignity of the office of king and I can do all things and so on and so forth. But because I'm a king who's a priest, a royal priest, I'm a royal priest, male or female, young, old, fat, dumb, skinny, and dumb, getting any difference. Everybody's a king, but they're also a priest. So I'm the Lord of all, and I'm the servant of all. So that's kind of a contradiction. That's a paradox. The priesthood of all believers. So the pastor is no better than the housewife washing dishes. Same calling. They're both equally good, you see. They're both the same. I don't get any more credit. I don't go to heaven any faster. I don't have any more dignity or worth or value than the housewife who's washing diapers. It's the same. She's cleaning out a poopy diaper, and I'm there preaching to 10,000 people and people getting saved and healed and so on. It's no better. Do you all understand that? So that's Luther's idea that a man who's a king is free of everybody. He's the king. So he's on top of everything. He's not under any laws. You know, he makes the laws in this world. But even though God is a king, he's also a priest. And Jesus came not to be king. Of course, he is king. But he came because he was king and he's a free man to serve others. He's free, but he serves. He's free, but he decides to obligate himself like any good father, any good pastor, any good person. You're free. You could make the kids serve you, but you don't. You serve them. Well, that's what you use your freedom, because you're a priest as well as a king. Even though it's mom and dad and you're my boss, you're actually mom and dad and you love me and you take care of me. Do you see that? Even though you're the pastor and you could be honored because you're dignitary and a pastor and you wear a collar and robes and everybody kisses your feet and so on. Instead of that, why shouldn't the pastor be the greatest servant of all? Jesus said, anyone in my kingdom, if you want to be great, you must be a servant of all. So that means a priest. So a priest has a vocation or a calling. I'm a pastor, for example. That's my priesthood. You're washing dishes, that's your priesthood. I'm sorry if you don't think that yours is as dignified as mine, but you're wrong. Everything you do in life is a calling. You have all those things that you're calling. But who you are is a king, number one. You're a king. But you, loving others and so on, that's your priesthood. That's your vocation. That's your calling. That's your office. There, you're not. So, for example, as a king, I don't have to pay taxes because I'm free. But as a priest, I choose to. Did you hear what I just said? I choose to. Why? Because I'm part of this world too. And just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm not a person. And as a person, I have, you know, simul justus et peccator. I've got a sin side and a, you know, gracious side and so on. I'm a king and a priest. All these things are contradictory if you don't understand them and you can't divide them up. So while you're completely free, you're also completely bound. Isn't that funny? I mean, the more I've learned that I'm free, the more I can be a servant and freely love. I don't have to, I want to. No one's making me do it because I'm born again. But in the world, it doesn't work that way. In the world, if you're a king, you just abuse other people. If you're a big shot in the world, you just abuse other people. You just take everything for yourself. For example, a lot of husbands do that. They just come and say, well, I'm the king, I'm the head of this house, so I want all the blessings, give you all the burdens. They have no problem doing that. That's the way the world thinks. But in the kingdom of God, it's upside down. In the kingdom of God, it's not upside down, it's actually right side up. The world was upside down, and Jesus righted it back up again and said, no, the woman is equal to the man. Well, what about that? Not only that, but the man being the head is actually the servant. That means he's the servant of all. I don't like that idea. I wanted Peggy to, you know, do the dishes and cook and sew and, you know, do everything for me while I lay back, drink a beer, and watch TV. You know, that's a good idea. Or being a pastor, I can't watch beer and TV, but at least, you know, while I'm praying and reading the Bible, she can be doing everything. No, the Bible won't let me do that. And as a matter of fact, you can't even rule in the house of God unless you rule over your household well. And that what that means is ruling, be a king. Yes, I'm free, but I'm free to do what? To serve, to be a priest, to do my calling. So my calling doesn't limit me. My calling doesn't limit me. My calling is wonderful because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's Jesus, who is a king, but who's also a priest. He's a king in me, setting me free, but he's a priest in me, binding me. He's a king in me, setting me free. He's a priest in me, binding me. There's my dignity. There's my liberty. There's who I really am. As a woman, you have a calling too, whatever your calling is. That's something, that's your vocation or your office or whatever it is you're doing, as a servant role. All callings and offices are servant roles. They even call themselves public servants, but they're not. They're just public greedy people. They're just public abusers, just public bribe people. But everybody knows that their calling is a service. But then how are you the king? How are you the Lord? Well, that's where you're free. You're free from all laws. You're free from anyone binding you. But you can bind yourself voluntarily. That's the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. Are you all? I'm not just trying to inspire you. I know I'm going, kind of moving along beautifully, but the point is, I want you to adopt this, get this down. Your simul justus et peccator. Part of you is free, part of you is bound. Part of you is sinful, part of you is holy. So which part? Well, the justus is over here and the peccator is over here. So this one's talking about who I am in Christ. This one's talking about what I'm like in this world. I mean, that's totally different. You know, who I am in Christ only has a little bit of a trickle-down effect, but it's only trickling. It's not yet complete. I mean, know that we are complete in him, but that's spiritual. You're not completing him psychologically. You're not completing him physically. You're not even going to get a new body till the next world. You don't even get your new body till the trump blows. You're going to have to live with this old body. Did you know that this old body's wearing out? I don't know when my teeth are going to fall out, but I feel they're going to fall out one of these days, you know, probably one at a time or something, but they're decaying and rotting and so on and so forth, and I don't like going to the dentist, so they just all fall out, and then I don't know what I'll do, get some wooden ones that I'll carve, paint them white or something, but I just don't want to do all that, you see? So they're going to fall apart because this body's like a tent, and it's just wearing out. You know, I have a Coleman tent that we bought when the kids were really little. You know, but if you take it out right now, it's probably not as waterproof as it once was. And, you know, the seams are coming undone and so on. But it was a great tent when we were kids. And everybody was little and so on and so forth. But, you know, your tent wears out and you got to sew it up again or get a new one. So it's better just get a new one. So your simul justus et peccator. You got a new man's side. You got an old man's side. You got your sinful, righteous side, and you got your sinful side. How many know that you got two sides to you? And everybody that knows you experiences that. They can experience. You're not a Christian. You're a hypocrite and a liar. Well, what makes you a Christian is not that you sin. It's whether you confess or not. It's whether you say you're sorry or not. It's whether you do, you know, what you do with it. So you can be a Christian and sin, but you just can't be a Christian and stay in the sin. I mean, you know, you can have a bad thought. You know, it just comes into your mind. And you weren't even creating it. It just kind of jumped in there. You can be worshiping God and all of a sudden a bad thought will come into your mind. How many know that that's possible? You know, or you can be loving someone and all of a sudden you just see something on them or this comes into your mind. I don't like this person. You're just loving them. You know, you're just being kind to them and nice and thinking, well, I'm a good mother. And all of a sudden you want to choke the little kid. You know, it just jumps into your head. Now, that doesn't mean that's who you are. That's just where you are in that moment. You know, it'll go away in a few minutes, hopefully, so don't hit them yet. Just wait a little bit. Maybe you'll have another thought. But because we're simul justus, justified, and peccator, still not justified completely. Donum totum, totum partum. Totally Christian. Yes, that's in my spirit, though. Not totally Christian in my soul. Not totally Christian in my behavior. Jesus was. I wasn't. I'm still not. So I'm already a Christian, saved, past tense, perfect, saved spirit. I'm becoming a Christian every day, renewing my mind every day, getting clearer every day, strong, getting my strong will every day. But that's becoming a Christian, not yet saved, but being saved. Was saved, being saved, and shall be saved. Future, past, present, future. So the future is, I'm not saved. I'm not even being saved. My body is decaying. It's just going downhill. And I'm looking forward to the day when I get a pretty body, a nicer body than the frumpy one I have right now. How many know you have a frumpy body now, and it's not all that nice. You try to fix it up and keep it from, you know, going down with gravity, but it just keeps going down. Does anybody notice that? I mean, no matter what you do and how many tummy tucks you get or whatever those things are, you know, it just keeps going downhill. You can't stop it. Your nose gets longer. Your ears gets longer. I mean, just gravity just takes over. You know, and a lot of guys who were real muscular when they were young, now their chests are sinking down, and it's like sunken treasure. I mean, that treasure chest is just going down. It's just going down. So you're no longer young. You know, little kids still have little vigorous bodies, and they're growing up, so they're okay. They're on the way up, but pretty soon they go down. So you're simul justus at peccator. Does that make sense? You're at the same time, simultaneously, at the same time, a saint, right hand, and a sinner, left hand. Now, everything on the left hand, though, isn't sinful. Some of my body, behavior, walk, actions, are saintly. Why? Because I'm walking by faith. I'm walking by grace. I'm not walking by works. If I walk by works, I'm under the world. If I walk by faith, I'm under God. So God isn't going to protect me from the worldly laws. If I'm walking in sin, I'm going to get caught, right? So it all depends on how your walk is. In fact, the Bible doesn't even use the word walk in a negative way. It only uses it in a positive way. So when you're walking by faith, you're not stumbling by sight. You're not. They call the worldly kind of sin walk. They don't call it a walk. They call that stumbling. So you can either walk or stumble. Which one pleases God? A child that's walking in uprightness or a child that's stumbling in darkness and in sin? See, the second one God doesn't want. He doesn't want you to stumble. If a little kid was stumbling all the time, and that would show he was blind. That would show you he couldn't see right. That would show he wasn't upright in his heart. He didn't have the light of God in him. So if you're walking in the Spirit, that means you're walking by faith. And without faith, you can't please God. So if I'm stumbling, I don't have faith. A person that's stumbling continually doesn't have any faith. They don't have any faith because they're stumbling in the darkness. They're walking by darkness. Instead of following the Bible, they got the light of their own eyes. Well, your eyes are darkness. When you do what you want, you're in darkness. When you do what God says, you're in the light. But you're not forced to do it under the law because you're a king. You're a Lord. Remember, on the right hand, you're completely free. But you're free to do the will of God. But what if a Christian say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm free. Yeah, you're just using that as a license. That means you're really not free because you don't really want to do the Lord's will. You want to do your own. So a lot of Christians are doing that. They're just doing their own will and calling it God. Yeah, I'm free. Just mean license. That's not freedom. That's bondage. So if you're free and the Son has set you free, then you're walking in the Son. You're walking in the light. You're children of the light and children of the day. And you can tell Jim Borchert is loving us. He's telling us the truth. He's doing his office. He's a good servant. He's a good slave. He's a good priest. Well, that's not my lordship side where I'm free. That's my priest side where I'm bound. Do you see that? A Christian is Lord of all, King. And he's also servant of all, priest. So you, in whatever office and calling you have, you are to be a priest, serving others, loving others, not taking care of yourself. Why wouldn't I take care of myself? I don't have to. I'm a son of the King. He takes care of me. He's my servant. So if Jesus serves me, I don't need to have you serve me. You see, people that make other people serve them are people that aren't being served by God. But when God serves you, you got everything. No wonder I worship God. Well, because he gave me everything. He didn't give me a lot of things. He didn't give me some things. He gave me everything. Eustace. That's the first thing I needed right there. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. Wow. If I get the number one, I get number two and three eventually. You see? But if you're a hypocrite, you just say that and you don't ever get anywhere. And that's how you have spots and wrinkles. So you're not really a bride. So I say I leave it. And this part of my theology you may not like. But I say I leave that question of whether Jesus is coming back for a bride with spots. I would call a bride with spots a whore. I would say if you've got spots, what the Bible's talking about is blemishes. He's talking about peccator, sin. And I would say if you still have that in you, then you're not going to heaven. That's strong. That's the strong way of putting it. On the other hand, let's say I sinned, but I said I was sorry. Ah, you're all right then. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, I'll put it this way. It's not because you got angry. That's not the issue. It's that you stayed angry. That's the issue. It's because you didn't repent. That's the issue. Well, what about it? Is that my work to repent? No, that's the Holy Spirit. You just blocked him. You didn't want to hear the Holy Spirit convict you of that sin. I'm very open to conviction. I sin so much that I just keep an open door on that one. Holy Spirit, anytime you want to convict me of any sin, go for it. I'm not hiding any of my sins or, you know, putting them back or whatever. I just come before God every day naked as a jaybird. As the day I was born, I just come right before God. God, here I am. I'm sure any sin in the book you name, I've done it. I've thought about it, or I'm about to do it. I mean, there's no question about it. Even though I haven't actually done it, I probably am meditating on it, and I'm probably just waiting for the occasion today. If somebody walks along, I'll probably do it. Or I'll wish I did it. Or I'll want to do it. Is anyone else like me? I'm wicked to the hilt. I am so shallow, so selfish, so evil, so whatever. And that doesn't bother me at all. I laugh at that because I'm a king. I'm free from the law. That doesn't at all make me feel guilty. No one has ever found me feeling guilty. You don't find me feeling guilty. I'm a king. But I'm also a priest. I don't have to be a priest. I choose to be a priest because I'm a good king. A good shepherd, that's how you become a good king. Because a shepherd is like someone who's priesting over those sheep, taking care of them, you see? So actually, the one who serves is the greatest. That's the greatest one. That's the greatest king would be the one that was the most priestly. So that's why you're a royal priesthood. You're both. If you want on earth for someone to put together king and priest, you'll get a devil. But in heaven, Jesus has that job. And the reason they're devils is because nobody can be both of those except those that Jesus puts into you. That's why he made you Simon Eustace Epicard. When he saved you, he could have said, why didn't Jesus just say, do the whole bunch? Save you, then sanctify you, then glorify you. Why didn't he do all three at once? What did he postpone it for? Right? I mean, isn't that what you'd do? Well, let's just get the job done. I mean, Jesus is going to save me. You might as well sanctify me and then glorify me. I mean, just get the whole thing over with. Well, he doesn't want to. You just can't make him do that. He wants to teach you little by little. That teaches you humility and love. Otherwise, you'd just be critical of everybody else. Well, I did it all. What's wrong with you? you would not be humble. But you're very humble when you realize, well, I'm pure in my spirit, but I'm not very pure in my soul. And I'm definitely not pure in my behavior. Even my wife can see that. Peggy can pick me out like that. But I can get her back, too. I'd pick her out, too. So, you know, there's nobody gonna be able to say, I never judged anybody. Yeah, we're all judging people all the time. How many know that we're not just making judgments, we're looking down on them and despises them? Maybe you don't want to admit that. But, you know, we actually despise people sometimes. What's wrong with you? And I may not say it. I may not say those words, but I'm doing it. I'm looking at that person, you know, And it's like I'm thinking a thought, but I don't bring it out. But I just go, "What is wrong with you? You know, shape up. You know." And I'm just thinking it. How many know you can't stop those kind of thoughts? Now the thing is, if I let that go and control me, that'd be a sin. But if I just have the thought and say, "Thank you, Jesus, this is a man for whom you died," it's not going to come up. I just killed that thought right there, and I just conquered it. So not everything is sinful, but it would be if you keep it going, if you keep cultivating it, you know, if you let it be there. But I let the Holy Spirit convict me. So usually when people, you know, come up to me and I despise them, Jesus also is right there with the Holy Spirit. "Jim, you just despised that person." "What? I did? Oh yeah, sorry." You know, and that's how the Holy Spirit convicts. And if you block him, like, "I'm the righteous of Christ," "I'm not gonna listen to that. I'm a faith teacher person." Well, okay, fine. But you know what? You're wicked. And I readily admit that stuff. I don't care if it's a sin or it isn't a sin, or it's halfway there or three-quarters of the way. I don't care. I just confess it all or ignore it all. I don't really worry about that. I'm never focused on this world. You know why? Because I got my eyes on Jesus. I keep wanting to look at Jesus. He's the only hope I got. He's the creator, the savior, the Lord, the, you know, defender, the guides me, powers me. You know, I just give him credit for everything. He's my beloved. He's my all in all. Right? He's my rearward. He's my forward. He's my underguard. He's my overlord. He's everything. You know, whatever he is, he's the door. He's the window. He's the house. He's the floor. You know, he's everything. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? He's my all in all. You know, when you were young, you fell in love with somebody and you made them your all in all. That was a big mistake right there. Because only God can fill that spot. And then you're on your fourth marriage now because there's no human being that's going to work out like that. It's just not going to work out. Stop that. It wasn't that they were bad, it's that you were wrong to idolize them. You were wrong to look for somebody human that wasn't God. And you just made an idol. So you're naturally going to divorce, or you're naturally going to separate, or you're naturally going to have a miserable life or something, because you did the sin. Did you hear me? It isn't the other person being bad. Everybody's bad. I mean, it's like, well, you know, the first few years are okay, but then all of a sudden I saw how bad they were. Come on. You know, you were blind from day one. It's your own blindness. They were bad the whole time. They're exactly like you. Equal. Sima Eustace Hepacotter. Okay, so as a Christian, a non-Christian can't even be good. So why criticize a non-Christian? That's like, you know, those hunts that I go on where they hide the little dove right there in front of you, and they walk up and the dogs sniff them out, and you're right there and pull the trigger, you know, and then you hit it, and then you go home with birds. I'm not a real hunter. You know, when I go out hunting, I just boom, you know, I don't even know how to do it. So I'm awful. You know, I just can't do it. So they take me on these hunts when they want to make a Texan man out of me. They take me on where they got the little bird hidden right there, and the dogs go right to it, and they're just barking right there. It's like, it's right there, and that little bird won't move because they've trained them. I don't know how they do it, but they've trained them. Just shoot right there. We'll get the dog back. You know, so boom, and I shoot the little bird, and it just falls over. That's the way I hunt because I'm no good. I don't know anything about hunting. If a criminal came in, I have a shotgun, so I'd blast something. I don't know if I'd hit him or my wife. It's something she's kind of afraid of. "Jim, do not get that gun out." Oh, big, I didn't see that was you. Jesus, I'm worried about that. Yeah. Right. Anyway, so God knows we are still wicked, okay? But that doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Just because you're wicked doesn't mean you're not a Christian. That's the Pecotter side of the Eustace. You all familiar with that? Now, we don't like contradictions. Because we're rational people, we like everything to make sense. Well, this one doesn't make sense because it looks like a contradiction. How can you be justified and at the same time sinful? You can't be both. Well, they're not talking about the same thing. That's why you can be both. One's talking about your spirit, the other's talking about your soul and your body. But even the body's divided up because part of your walk is godly and part of your walk is ungodly. Part of your soul is godly and part of your soul is ungodly. Because here I'm perfect, here I'm getting to be perfect, and here I haven't even started yet. I don't even have my new body. In the new body, you get to walk through walls. I've never been able to do that. I'll show you. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't have that new body yet, right? So I'm not even anticipating that. I know my teeth are going to fall out, and I know, you know, I'm going to get dull of hearing and whatnot and so on and so forth and whatever. When I say I know it, I mean I don't know it. I'm just simply saying I'm not worried about that. I'm not going to panic and go to a faith teacher and try to get everything all fixed up. I don't bother with my body. I don't care about my body. I know it's going to fall apart, but, you know, here I am, 68 years old, and I'm still hanging in there, so I'm okay. I'm not worried about it, and I've never gone to a doctor. And if I have my way, I'll never will. But maybe I'll break an arm or something. I'll have to. But if I probably do, I'll probably make my own splint and so on and bandage it up and hope it, you know, comes out correct. Because I just don't like those kind of people. I don't believe in that much. I see more people die from hospitals than they die from anything else in the whole world. So to me, when you go into a hospital, you're coming out dead. That's it. So I don't want to even go there. I don't even like to go and pray for people there. It's just like, that's a demonic place. You all understand? I'm sorry if you don't know what I'm talking about, but that's the way I see it. So it's just like, well, if you ever get out, come and see me. I'll pray for you from a distance. But I don't like going in there. That's their deal. That's a witchcraft deal, and they got their little rules and laws and so on. I want to go in and yell and shout about Jesus. I don't want nurses coming in and out and doctors and all this kind of stuff. That's their little kingdom, their little realm. It's just a money-making machine. They don't even care about the sick. They just want to make their money. They get it from the government and get it from middle-class people who will pay because that's all they can get it from. And you're paying totally for all kind of people that don't even have any insurance or people that don't have, you know, they're aliens, not even citizens or whatever. So I don't believe in all that kind of stuff, but I don't really care. I don't really care about that stuff. I'm into the kingdom of God, and that's my whole focus, is not worrying about this world and this life. So I have completely ignored this world. I didn't try to become rich or great or famous or whatever. I just ignored it all and went for Jesus. How many know that if you obey him, it might work out? I'm pretty happy with what I got. I like being in love with Jesus. Is anybody else like that? I like being a king, free, completely free. And I like being a slave, a servant, completely bound. I like being both. Sometimes one, sometimes the other. So that's the way it is. So as a Christian, you are Lord of all. Right? You're Lord of all. That's spirit. But in practice, you're probably not. In practice, you're just practicing. It's like, okay, be healed. Oop, person died. Okay, let's try that again. Be healed. Try that one. Okay, let's try it again. That one died. Okay, be healed. You just try different tricks and techniques because you're practicing. You don't really know how it's done, so you're just copying somebody else. You saw the way they did it. You're just copying what they did. You know, when we went to Africa, Rose Marie, she didn't know anything. And so we had to pray for everybody. David prayed and I prayed. We had four lines, right, David? And Meg prayed, Meg Cole, Amy's mom, and the four of us. But Mary Ann didn't know anything, so she stood next to me. She got in the line next to me, and whatever I would say, she would say. So each little kid would come forward, and there was couple hundred kids, and they'd each come forward, and, you know, I'd say something, you know, in the spirit, and, you know, I'm sure she didn't copy that part. But she heard me say some English words, you know, and then she would say exactly what I said. Because you didn't know what to say, so you just kind of copied it. She said, whatever Pastor Jim said, that's what I said. So they got identical things. I just had two hands like this, just did them two at a time. But that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how you learn. Actually, that's how I learned, too. I just followed other people, and that's the way you learn. But after a while, what you learn is that you shouldn't have learned all that. There's a lot of stuff biblical. Hello? A lot of religion is just learned from other people rather than out of the Bible. So you got to always go back to the Bible. That's why we do. We always go back to the Word of God. So you are at the same time a sinner and a saint. Sinner, peccator. Saint, justus. Simul justus et peccator. I'm at the same time justified and et peccator. Sinful. So I'm a saint and a sinner. Same time. I got two sides to me. And anybody that lives with you knows that. And you living with you knows that. You know there's times when you have wonderful thoughts and there's times when you have awful thoughts. There's times when you have wonderful emotions and times when you have awful emotions. There's times when you're scared and there's times when you're joyful. Right? So you're simul justus et peccator. It's just simply descriptive of who you are. Not who you are in Christ. In Christ, you're justus. But you're not always in Christ. I mean, you're always in Christ spiritually. But sometimes you're in the flesh. And you're walking and talking in the flesh. Right? And that just shows there's some spots and wrinkles that haven't been removed. So every day you ought to get before God and say, God, I want to be a spotless bride. When you come, I want to be totally new, and I don't know how to do that. Could you please do that? Forgive my sins when they come up and iron me out and, you know, take that spot remover stuff and get, you know, take the strongest chemicals you got, because I think I've got some spots that are deep. Have you ever tried to take something to the cleaners and it wouldn't clean? I have. And then no matter how many times you send it back, it just gets worse and worse. I mean, they just can't fix it. They can't get it clean. Well, Jesus has a spot remover cleaner. That's the Holy Spirit. And he can get those spots. He's got a way. I don't know how he does it, but he's got a way of maybe a sonar, or I don't know what he's using, but something is shaking out all those dirts. Amen? But the first thing you have to do is admit you got it. You got to look at it and go, that is a spot. Especially if you're a bride and you show up on your wedding day and you got mud all over your dress. And, you know, and it's all wrinkled and looks awful. It's nice satin, but it's just all wrinkled up. And so it's got lots of darkness in it. Now, God wants you to be perfect. And I want to look perfect when I see Jesus, because I know he's perfect. Amen? But only Jesus can make me perfect. So even though I'm free, I'm also bound. Yes, I'm free, but the proof that I'm free is that I'm bound. Yes, I'm a king, but the proof that I'm a king is that I serve. The thing that makes me a great king is that I'm a great servant. The thing that makes me a great pastor is that I serve. The thing that makes me a great parent is that I'm a servant, I'm a lover. The thing that makes me a great parent is not that I got the title, parent, master, pastor, you know, powerful. Those are just titles, and they have no meaning. It just means I'm a tyrant. So if I eat the sheep, that's not the same thing as feeding the sheep. Can anyone see the difference between those two? One is feeding the little sheep, and the other is eating that sheep that I'm feeding. I'm feeding him so I can eat him. You don't see the humor of that. But that's what a lot of pastors, they're not really interested in feeding the sheep. They're interested in eating them. And they just use them for their own advantage and purpose. You all see that? But there's no scripture that says eat the sheep. I mean, you can eat sheep. Lamb is good. I like lamb. It's one of my favorite meats. Probably my only favorite meat, actually. But anyway, but you're not supposed to be eating the people. You're supposed to be feeding them so they can eat one another. You know, the people will eat one another. Be careful lest you bite and devour one another. Remember it says that? So if you feed them well, though, they don't need to eat each other. But if you're in a church where they're not feeding you too well, you have to start eating each other. You become cannibalistic. Amen? My kids do not argue with one another. My kids are neat. They like each other. They always have. That's neat. We didn't have those kind of arguments that every family has. We didn't have them. That's because I whipped them, beat them. No, that's not the only reason. It's because I don't know why it is, tell the truth. I just see that it happened that way. But I believe it has something to do with loving Jesus. I believe it has something to do with the way we brought him up. I believe it does, but I really can't say, because I didn't expect my kids to turn out that good. I was kind of amazed. You know, it's like they're ignorant. They didn't even know how wicked I was or anything. I told them I was wicked, but I don't know if they believed it. I mean, they had to see some things, but we never hid from our kids. I always told them the truth. Mom did. Mom was fake and phony. Mom was. She was phony. And she didn't want those kids, because she was in bondage to them. She wanted them to like her. I didn't care if they liked me. So I never did that. And I never exposed her. I mean, she can be phony all she wants, you know. But I just say, tell them, hey, tell them the truth. Tell them the truth that I was right. Because she would let it look like I was wrong and I was the bad guy, Joyce. That's unfair. Peg, you know you were the bad person on that. Tell them. She didn't want to do that. I say, you got all the kids coming to you. You all don't see the humor of this. It's funny. If you live in the real life, if you live in a real world, that life isn't simple, because you're simul justus et peccator. You got two sides to you. And kids have two sides. Everybody who's ever been born on the face of the earth being sinful is a contradiction. Right? They got both sides. They got a good side and a bad side. Even Adolf Hitler had a nice side. Eva liked him. You know, I mean, everybody has a good side. Everybody. Even the worst scoundrel has something decent about him. And but everybody has a bad side, too. So the world can't work that out. They don't know how to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they don't know what good is and what evil is. What's the worst sin in the world? I've taught you a million times. Let's see if you know it. Unbelief. The worst sin in the world is unbelief. It's not murder. It's not adultery. It's not lying, stealing. The worst sin in the world is not believing that Jesus Christ will forgive you the worst sin in the world. You all see that? Here, Jesus, I'll give you Jesus. So you know I've got authority. And when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. I think he should have said because they believe not on God. He didn't. He said because they believe not on me. He didn't say they believe not on God. He said they believe not on me. Isn't that interesting? Maybe the first sin should be you didn't believe in God. No, you didn't believe in Jesus, that he was the Son of God, who came not like God who's going to judge you, but like Jesus who's going to forgive you because God who would have judged you wanted instead to send Jesus so he'd forgive you. That's beautiful. God would judge sin because he hates sin. But Jesus worked it out so that the sin that you did, he took. And the goodness he did, he gave. Well, that's neat. That's why God didn't do it. But of course that's God. Because God sent his Son into the world to redeem you and forgive you and trade you. Hey, give me all you sowed, I'll reap it. I'll give you all I sowed, you reap mine. Oh, that is love. That changed my life. That's what made me Eustace. And how did I get Eustace? Faith, not works. I don't have any works. Never have, never will. All my works, any works I've ever done, all my walk, it's all rotten God. Otherwise, it's just stumbling. You can't even call it works. Evil works. It's just stumbling in darkness. Everything I ever did was stumbling in darkness. When I was a little kid growing up, even when I got married, I knew there wasn't a decent bone in my body. I have never, ever, 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 ever thought I was a good person. I've never thought that. I knew I could behave as though I were to trick people, but I never thought I was any good. I knew I was bad and evil. And you know what? When I read the Bible agreed with me. It said, you are evil. Yeah, I thought, well, this guy, God, whoever he is, he's pretty sharp. He's got me nailed. All your thoughts are nothing but adultery and lying and stealing and thievery. And that sounded like me. Because I never hid. And when I met God, he didn't want me to hide. Boo, Jim, is that you in there? Yes, you were supposed to come in here. Yes. You ever see how little kids will hide? They'll hide like this. Hiding. A little kid thinks if they close their eyes, you can't see them. That was me. I did that to God. God, you're not looking, are you? Don't look at this. I'm not here. Look over there. I'm over there. You can't fool God. And I figured that out right away by reading it. You know, like he has seven eyes. I read that. He has seven eyes. They're going to and fro throughout the earth. Well, what do you do with a guy that has seven eyes? I mean, Peggy, she has two eyes, but they're not in the front of her head. They're in the back of their head because the kids thought they were doing something in the back and she would know what they were doing. I don't know. That was amazing. So they've sent her little cards that have the eyes in the back of the head like that. Mom, this was you. Because she always knew what they were doing. That is powerful, isn't it? Isn't that powerful when you have a mom like that? Find out everything you do wrong. The kids were always amazed at that. How did you catch us? They knew. We can't do anything, and you find out. Aren't kids funny? Because they think, I'm getting away with this. But sooner or later, all your sins are found out. And I know all mine are going to be found out, so I just go ahead and tell them, God, here's some sin I've got right there. Don't look at it. I just showed it to him, though, because I know he's going to find it. You know, sometimes people will do that when they're caught. They'll just start confessing. That's me. I'll get away with it as long as I can. Then when he catches me, I'll go, okay, I did it all. That's the kind of person I am. Hello. Are you like that? What's the point of lying to him when he can know everything? He sees everything. But still, I'll be tempted to do it and pretending like at night he can't see. Do you ever do things at night where he can't see? Because God can't see you. But now he's got those infrared things, and he can see you really at night. So, wow, that's no fun. Because God, he can read my mind. He can read my thoughts. He can read things that I can't even read. He knows that I'm more wicked than I even know. Right? Did you know that God knows you're more wicked than you know you are? Yeah, you are completely evil, wicked. You need to wear one of those little bells on the front of you, warning everyone. Ding, 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 ding. Here I'm coming, and I'm going to get you, you know. And don't be fooled by my pretended Christianity. I got an evil nature inside of me that'll get you if you ever turn on me or anything, you know. And so I like it. I like that. I like to give a little warning like that. I tell Peg, you know, give me a warning when you're going to be evil like that. She doesn't do it. But I spot her. I can spot her. Because I'm so wicked that I can spot other wicked people. Did you know that if you're wicked, you can spot other wicked people? Because you do every dirty trick in the book, so you know all their dirty tricks. So it's very hard for people to kind of like fool me. Because I've already done all those awful things. That's why, you know, did you know that that's true? The reason that you want to pick on other people's sin is to pretend like you don't see your own. Did you know that? That's why God always puts the log in your eye and never puts it in the other person's eye. Peg, you got a log. That's a big log. Jim, the log is always in your own eye. Well, I didn't do so big as you did. And so we'll defend each other. You know, I'll defend myself, she'll defend herself. Well, I think you sinned bigger than I did. No, you did. No, you did. We'll just argue like little kids. Does anybody else have a marriage like that? We argue like little bitty kids. Anyway, I think it's fun because it gets it all out in the open right away. And then you walk away after having won the argument, and you know you were lying. You know you were wrong. I do. And Peggy, if she wins, she'll walk away and beat herself up because she knows she wasn't supposed to win. She knows that's not Christian to win. So she'll fight like mad until she walks away, and then she'll go, oh, I probably did wrong. Isn't that amazing? Are you aware of that? So here's what I'm teaching you today. Simul justus et peccator. You are a contradiction to yourself. You have two sides in you, old man, new man, saint and sinner, right? But look, here's how you clarify it. Oh, spiritually, you're a new man. Woo, that gives me hope. If I got the main one, spiritual, maybe I'll get the other two. In fact, he promised it. He said, the good work that I began in you, I will surely complete. Woo, I like that promise. God, you mean you could make me perfect in the next world, right? Could you how far can you go in this world? Well, he can go a long way in this world, but not perfect. He can make the spirit perfect, but not the soul. Your soul will never be perfect, but it could be perfect for 3 seconds. How many are up to a 3 second perfect? Or seven? Every once in a while I'm perfect for 7 seconds. Does anybody have one of those? I mean, I have a running thing like that sometimes. Sometimes I've gone for 15 seconds and perfect. I mean, I'm just so in love with Jesus. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. There's no sin in me in that moment. See what I'm saying? But I can't keep it going. Somehow I default back. Something happens and I default. You know, all of a sudden I'll be so excited about God. And here's how I can tell. Because I'll be so excited about God. God, I love you right now. And I know it. I mean, I'm just so excited. Then I'll be proud. Yeah, that ruined it right there. I was just doing fine for 15 seconds, and then I got proud of it. Is anybody like that? You are? You are? Yeah, of course. So you're never going to be not simul justus et peccator. As long as you live in this life, even though you can conquer it for permanent in your heart, temporarily in your soul, but only occasionally in your body. And there are moments when you're actually worshiping in God, and it's God. You're not even taking the glory. You're not even touching the glory. You're just like, oh, Jesus, you're so, oh, thank you, Jesus. And you are so in love in that moment. And you're doing good for other people. You're serving them. You're a real priest. You're doing your occupation. You're doing your calling. You're doing your office. You're doing your order of creation. And it's beautiful. You're a real king priest. You're a real priest king. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. And you can let the Spirit kind of dominate over the other one, and eventually When you start to trust God, you'll put more of your soul under your spirit, more of your body under your soul. Till you get almost perfect for 3 seconds, for 4 minutes. You know, no, nobody knows how long it is. All I'm trying to say is you actually can live without sin, but you're probably not going to live too long without it. But there's no sin in your heart. There's some sin in your soul, and there's, you know, a little bit of sin out there in the body. But it's only part of them. Don't impart them. Don't tote them. Don't impart them. Totally clean in your heart, not totally clean in your soul, not totally clean in your body. Does that make sense? That's the key to the Reformation, and that was why Luther got dominated by Calvin. Unfortunately, Calvin's view dominated the Western world, not Luther's. And to this day, without Luther's understanding of simul justus et peccator, you're stuck with a Calvinistic view of predestination and a lot of other nonsense that is not biblical. And that's why America's in trouble. That's why our church and state don't work. Nobody knows where to place the church. Calvin put the church under the state, or he put the church free from the state, but then he made some kind of a presbytery of laity and clergy all together and so on. He got all mixed up. He didn't have Luther's clarity, and therefore a lot of confusion. I'm not saying he didn't accomplish some good things. He did, but he also accomplished a lot of bad things, and we've never escaped from them. So let's go back to the simplicity that you can't put church under the state or even under nature. The church is not a natural institution, nor is it a political institution. It is a spiritual house. My kingdom is not of this world. That's what Jesus said. So why should I let Calvin tell me what the church is? Why should I let Luther tell me what the church is? Luther had a bifurcation inside of him. He believed in two kinds of church. One was a political church that was called the Volkskirche, like the Volkswagen. So he had the Volkskirche, and then he had the Freiwilligkeitskirche. The Freiwilligkeitskirche is Freiwill, free will. A free will church is a voluntary church. That's a priesthood type church. Well, Luther said, we're not ready for that one yet. Well, 500 years later, are we still not ready? I mean, there's some problem there. And so he put it back under the prince because he saw that the peasants in 1525 rebelled and began smashing churches in their freedom. They were using their kingship without any servanthood, no priesthood. You see that? They did the king part, but they lost the servant part. Well, that's licentious. Now it's tyrannical. So you got to get it just right. You have to realize you're simul justus et peccator. They wanted to say, we're justified by faith. Hallelujah. Let's just go and break down the Catholic Church. Let's go and rape nuns and, you know, marry them and all this kind of stuff. They just tore society apart. So Luther went back and said, we're not ready yet for the gospel. We can preach it, but we can have free conscience. But boy, on the other, we better hold people back and let the king get over them. So the church in Germany, like Adolf Hitler found, was too placid, too pliable. And we're still stuck with that today also. But that actually comes more from Melanchthon than it does from Luther. But anyway, that was one of his followers. But Calvin and Melanchthon were closer to each other. And they almost went back under the Catholic thing, as a matter of fact. So confusion is everywhere. And so when America got founded, the only thing we had was the English model, which was built a lot on the Presbyterian or Calvinist model rather than the Lutheran model. Tyndale, however, started out with the Lutheran model. Tyndale was one of Luther's followers. And so if you ever want to study the real Reformation, get into Tyndale. Because Tyndale's Bible actually became the King James Version. Tyndale's New Testament is pretty much our New Testament for the most part. So what would be fun today is to take a trip to Germany and study Tyndale in Germany and then Tyndale in Holland and then Tyndale in England. Did you know that even the kings and queens knew him, and they knew him quite well? And so he almost affected the Lutheran Reformation there, then you wouldn't have had the Anglican Church. Are you hearing me? So it's very interesting. Luther lived at the same time as King Henry VIII with all those wives and so on. So history could have been quite different. I think God had a reason for it, and doesn't make any difference, but I'm just going to tell you right now, let's bring it out. Let's get the whole truth. So let's go back to simul justus et peccator. It's Latin for the same time you're a saint and a sinner. Justus, peccator. Justus et peccator. Sinner and saint, same time. So you are at the same time, you got the old man and the new man, and you're not just a new man. I'm a new man in Christ. I'm the righteousness of Christ. Well, that's too strong. You mean you're the righteousness of Christ spiritually, but you're not the righteousness of Christ psychologically. You're not the righteousness of Christ behaviorally. You're just the righteous of Christ spiritually. Why? Because it's by faith. But what about if faith active in love? Where's your love? Ah, a lot of Christians have talk but no love. That's why their marriages are falling apart. That's why their lives are falling apart. That's why society's falling apart. I can't expect the king or the politicians to stay uncorrupted if the church itself is corrupt. It's never the beast that does the whoring. It's always the whore that does the winking. And so, if that's the case, I don't want to fix up the political state. I want to fix up the church. Well, the church is harder than the state. I could sooner get the church to be right than I could the state to be right than I could the church. And that's why the founding fathers were much closer to the gospel than were the preachers of the day. Now, I could go through each denomination and show you how stupid and wrong and evil and bad exegesis. You have bad exegesis, you're going to have eisegesis. Exegesis is where I get the text to speak to me. Eisegesis is where I speak to the text. In other words, I'm going to read in there what I want to read in there. So I'll justify whatever I want. That's eisegesis. Well, in this world, there is no such thing as certainty or truth. So therefore, if I'm in the political realm, there is no right thing. I mean, you can have a monarchy and you could have a democracy or a republic or whatever you want, but people can be corrupt anywhere. Just because you have a form of government doesn't mean you're going to have the substance of a government. So there's all kinds of problems because you can't do good eisegesis in the state because anybody can impose anything they want on any state. America can call itself a republic, and it's not a republic at all. It's a plutocracy. It's something else. It's not even a republic. There's not a republic of laws. It's a republic of criminals and thieves, robbers and liars and bribers. That's all. But that's because of the church. I say it's the pulpit. That's it. That's where the problem lies with me. I am the whole cause of a bad world. I'm the cause. I need to be a better king and a better priest. I'm not putting pressure on anybody else. I'm not saying it's George Bush or John McCain or Hillary or Obama or anybody. I'm not blaming the politicians. I'm not blaming the locals, the state, the federal. I'm blaming me. Why? Because I know the truth and the truth will set me free. So there's pressure on me, even though I'm Samuel Eustace, et precatur. I've still got sin in my life. So as soon as I get all the sin out of my life, I'll probably be able to take the log out of their eye. But that could take a week. That could take a week to get all the sin out of my life. How many are, you know, working on all your sin this week, trying to get it out so you don't have any left? How many are making an all-out war on it? Boy, that's the last time, Satan, you're going to have any sin in me. Well, you're Eustace, but you're also Picotter. I'm sorry, it's a permanent fixture. I'll just tell you right now, there is no such possibility that you could be no Picotter. You're always going to have some sin thrown in there. Well, then how does the bride get without spot or wrinkle? Let's say the spots were the soul and the wrinkles were the body. How do you get a church without spot or wrinkle or such thing? Here's how you do it. You confess. When the spot shows up, get some spot cleaner on it. Let the Holy Ghost, you put a little light on that, and hey, there's the spot right there. And then let the Holy, you know, he'll, you know, wiggle it or beat it or do something to it, put a lot of caustic acid on it or something. He'll get rid of that spot. Go back to the spiritual. That's what pure worship's all about, is that I didn't do it. If I'm Samuel Eustace at Picotter, anything that I do would be no good. It'd all be Picotter. So I want to make sure it's God, because spiritual is I have faith in somebody else. So not only should my faith be for my salvation, that is, for my justification, the kaios, but it also should be for my works. Faith active in love, I can't even do that. I can't even walk in faith without the Holy Spirit doing it, because it's in faith. It's not in Jim. It's not in my works. It's not in my walk. The only walk I can do and the only works I can do is if the Holy Spirit, who lives in me, does them. So even he's the one that did it, and he's still got to be the one that does it. God does everything. He creates the world, redeems the world, justifies the world, sanctifies the world, glorifies the world. He does it all. God does it all. That's pure worship. When you realize, don't touch it because it wasn't you. You didn't clean yourself up. You didn't expose yourself. You didn't create yourself. You didn't do anything. You never did a lick of work. Just relax. Relax. All the Picotter in the world already killed Jesus. Don't worry about it. It's finished. So get the spiritual first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll give you everything else. He'll give you. He didn't say you'd earn it. He didn't say you'd work for it. He didn't say you'd fix it. You can't begin in the spirit and end in the flesh. That's Galatian witchcraft. That's the heresy of the day. So donum totum, donum partum, donum partum. Donum totum, total gift, completely finished, perfect. Don't impart them partially. I'm being saved. Here I am saved. Here I'm being saved. Here I shall be saved. Part them, don't them. Do you see that? So if you're surprised today that you're not perfectly, how many are not perfectly perfect? I mean, you're not perfect spirit, soul, and body. Of course not. So then how do you do 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that says, keep yourself spirit, soul, and body without blemish till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here's how you do it. That when you do sin, you call on the Holy Spirit. He completely forgives you, and then he cleans it, and then that's how you do it. And when you're walking in the flesh, you don't hide it. You just say, hey, Holy Spirit, look at this wrinkle right here. You don't hide it from him and say, Holy Spirit, do you see any wrinkles? Of course he sees wrinkles. How many know you have a few wrinkles? Other people see them. God sees them for sure. So let God see them. God, looky here, before people see this, do you see anything? That's the way I pray. God, get me before everybody else does today. Because he's merciful. He's kind. He's powerful. He's gracious. I'd rather have God do it. When Peggy gets a hold of me, she demolishes me. Peggy doesn't just, you know, like, kill me instantaneously. She, like, wounds me little by little, stabs at me, beats at me. You know, it's like with a, you know, it's not with a sharp knife or something. It's like with a dull one. You see what I'm saying? Y'all see what I'm saying? So I'd rather have Jesus do it. He just, like, Jim, you sin. Like that. Then it's over with. And then he just resurrects you up. Yahoo! That's better. I'd rather have, you know, David said he had three choices. You can either fall into my hands and, you know, I'll do whatever I'm going to do, or you can do this, or you can do that. I'll take the fall into your hands. Very good choice. That's the way to do it. Just fall right into God's hands. God, have mercy upon me. I'd sin against thee, and thee only I've sinned and done was evil. No, please, God, just help me. Thank you. Better to go to God. When God kills you, he resurrects you. When he uncovers you, he reclothes you. If he cuts you, he'll heal you. If he empties you, he'll fill you. I like God's way better. He never ends up negative. He always ends up positive. His love always heals whatever his anger gets. That's not bad. So let him cut, then he can heal. That's the Lord. He's free to do it, but you know what? He's also not only a king free to beat me up, judge me, criticize me, use me, abuse me, because I sinned, but he's also a priest that comes down and sends his son and says, Jesus, go down there and serve that person. You go down and love that person. You lift the burden off that person. And Jesus said, yes, sir, I'm ready. Here am I. Send me. And Jesus said, well, they're going to punish you and all that. That's okay, Father. If it pleases you, pleases me. I'll do it. Hey, now there's a lover. I am among you not as one who's king, Lord, to be served. I'm among you as a servant to serve. How many know that you're abused in this world? You're misused. You're misunderstood. You know, all those things happen. Good, suffer. That's how you learn obedience. Obedience as a what? As a king? No, as a priest. You're a priest in order to be a king. You're a king in order to be a priest. Two go together, but only in God. Now he's made you a priest king. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, that is what God wants you to be, is you be free, first of all, and then you be a servant. But don't be a servant until you're first free. When you're free, then you're free to serve. You're not free to be licentious. You're not free to just do your own thing. You know why? Because you'll be in bondage again. He just set you free as a king, and now you became a tyrant. A tyrant's not a king. So how can you go and you be free, and then right away you get yourself into bondage? That's what all kings do. All politicians do that. As soon as they're free, they love Jesus, they get into office, immediately someone brings a prostitute to them, or pedophilia, or they need a grant, or they need some kind of favor, and now they're in bondage. Somebody takes a picture of it or whatever, and they say, I'm going to tell the whole world on you. And the minute you do something wrong, they get exposed. They never tell that they had that all along. They got them the first day they were in office. This went to them right away. Hey, we got a little call ring here. You want to be in on it? And the guy says, no, I'm not. Okay, fine. We'll find what is your weakness? Because whatever it is, we'll find it. You want your daughter to have a scholarship? You want this, you're afraid of that, you know, you need somebody bumped off, whatever. I'm telling you, are finished. Do you know how the game is played? It's rough. I'm sorry. When these little things come out in the federal or in the state or in the local, it's not just a little isolated incident. They could do it with anybody. And the only reason they don't tell on everybody is because they're not ready to get everybody. But every once in a while they say, now let's get him. And they can pull that cord anytime. It's sad that I know too much. I could expose a multitude of politicians out there. and I know what they're doing, and there's nothing you can do about it. And the people are naive and thinking, well, some of them are corrupt, but most of them are not. No, there's only a handful that are not corrupted. There's a couple of them that have not been corrupted, and they hate them. And they try to overthrow them. They do everything they can to get rid of them because they want everyone controllable. And they hate me. You know why I was thrown out of the Lutheran church? But I wasn't. I actually quit. But you know why they didn't want me in there? It was because they can't control me. They hate people they can't control. Because I bought into the program. I did, you know, said fall in love with Jesus, and I did. And I found that's not what they were into. And I either had to stay in and destroy that entire institution, or they had to destroy me. And God said, get out. And I said, no, I want to stay and, you know, either beat them or they beat me. David remembers. David was there. And, I just walked away because God said, walk away. I said, no, I want to get the Pope and I want to get them all. I mean, I'm going to pull the whole thing down. I am. I was determined. You don't know how determined a person can be. I was determined. I'll pull down every denomination and so on. I won't rest till I do. You know, not because I was mean, it's just because I was, you know, had nothing better to do. I would have just done it for fun, just because they had lied. Isn't that funny? So instead, God says, why don't you get out and build a little church? Well, that'd be easy. He said, yeah, try it. I was like, yeah, just try to build a church. That was 35 years ago. I still haven't got one. So I see now that God, he had a good idea. It's easier to pull down the whole papacy than it is to build a little local church. Because, you know, we're working with people. I don't know if you've figured that out yet. That is one of the flaws of the church. It's not just in the Bible writings. You have to actually work with real people. I mean, just kind of like, don't actually look, but just think of the people that are in this room. Try to herd them. It's like herding cats. You know, come on, okay, let's all stay here. You can't do it. You having fun? Look, we're simul justus et peccator. We're at the same time saint et sinner, peccator. Justus, peccator. All that means is you got an old man and a new man. The old man, it's not gone. It's gone in the spirit. It's not yet gone in the soul. It's not gone in the flesh. And will it be gone? No, it's not going to be gone till the trump blows. When the trump blows, you get a new spirit. You get a new soul and a new body, just like that. But that's when the trump blows. That's when Jesus comes back. Well, that hadn't happened yet. So don't ever expect yourself to be pure and holy. Amen? I mean, you're working at it, yes, because you're, and the way to do it is suffer. Did you know that that gets rid of more sin? When you're suffering, which is the very thing you hate, but that's, your flesh hates it, that's sin. But that's actually what gets you free from sin. The more you suffer, the better it is for you. You need that. You don't have time when you're suffering to even think about sinning. That's the problem with suffering is you don't have time to do all the sin you want to do. If I had no problems, I'd be sinning big time. You see? So I'm grateful for a church full of problems. And I'm blessed. You know, that just one person, if just Peggy was my only church member, I'd be bogged down from here to eternity. You see what I'm saying? If I just had to deal with me, I'd never get finished. If I just had to deal with Barbara, I'd never get finished. You know, with Charlotte, I'd never get finished. I mean, people can consume every energy, every decent thing in your life. Then just take it all. Now, where then is the church? Only God. Only God. Look to God. Stop looking to man. Stop fixing things up. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Beholding him, we're changed from one degree of glory to another. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. I believe God's going to have a spotless church, and I believe it's going to be exactly what he said. And I'm on my way. I can feel myself moving in the right direction. Barbara, you're moving in the right direction. You're getting happier and happier, freer and freer, serving more, loving more. You know, you sin every once in a while, but you confess it to Jesus. That's the way to do it. Nothing wrong with that. Just keep plugging away. Don't look for those big glorious moments. Oh, here's a glorious moment. I'll never sin again. I don't think so. You're going to sin till the kingdom come. Amen? Don't worry about it. You got Justus. Keep your eyes on the Justus. Think on things that are pure, that are holy, that are just, that are right, that are true. That's the right hand of God. Don't think on things that are, you know, spots and wrinkles. Don't waste time on spots and wrinkles. Get the Holy Spirit to do the spots and the wrinkles. Holy Spirit, you got some more wrinkles here, some more spots. Get those. Thank you. He says, Jim, is this one of your wrinkles? Yes, sir. Is this one of your spots? One of them, yeah. So he only works on one at a time. So he just get it. But I bet at the last day when he blows that trump, boop, it'll all be gone. Oh, where's my spots? Where's my wrinkles? They're gone. Because I'm only looking at Jesus. I'm just waiting for the day when Jesus returns. Amen? I'm just longing for that day. Aren't you? Aren't you tired of this world? This world doesn't fix. Has anybody ever thought about, you know, well, if I were king of the world, I would do thus and so. Yeah, well, it's a good thing you're not, because it'd be worse than it is now, or it'd be exactly the same. But you're not going to fix it. You can't even fix your own family. You can't even fix your weight. You know, you can't even fix your hair. You know, what are you going to fix? You know, I mean, you're not a fixer. Let the Holy Spirit do it all. He's so good at creation, so good at redemption, so good at sanctification, and so good at glorification. Let him do it. Right? So, dikaios, hagios, doxa, spirit, soul, and body. Let him do it. Let him do it. You just focus on the good part. Why look at the spots and wrinkles? I don't even look at those. I'm just looking, I know I got them. But I'm just going to look at the finished work, the perfect work. Hey, look at this one, how perfect it is, how beautiful it is. I'm keeping my eyes on that part. Things that are excellent, that are holy, that are just, they're true. I'm just looking at the Bible stuff. I don't want to look at all my sinful stuff and all my bad walk stuff. You can concentrate on that if you want. I'm going to look at this. Because this makes you grow. Beholding him, I'm changed. I don't even know I'm changing. I'm not even aware of my left hand and my right hand. Simul justus et peccator. You're at the same time a sinner and a saint. If you marry somebody, they're a sinner. Gee, don't ever think that person's going to be shaped up by my love. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought that one? You know, this person's not a good person, but with my love and my service, I believe they'll come around. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that's ever happened. You know what they did with Jesus' love? Killed him. There's a guy that loved. That didn't even do the job. Sin's still around. But he got you and me. He got you and me. That's good enough. I'm just going to keep my eyes on Jesus. He's the only one that ever accomplished anything. That's God's son. He's a priest and a king. So I hope you were blessed today. Hope you understood that the best is yet to come. Amen? Don't worry. God will do everything. This little pitiful group here is powerful. Because you have the truth that'll set you free. Truth is better than anything else. Truth will give you shalom. It'll give you peace. It'll give you joy. Anyone want to ask a question? Good. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, ask it. I'm just kidding. Ask a question. Yeah. Yeah, I took the curse off of Africa. It's okay now. Curse. It was cursed. Did you know that the black people in Uganda, and that means everywhere, they actually felt they were under a curse. And when I told them they weren't, they didn't know it. They said, we never heard that. What they think is to be black is to be cursed. To be white is to be blessed. They actually think that. Young people, old people, all ages. And when they heard me telling that, and I proved it out of the Bible, when they heard me telling that, they were like, we never heard any of this stuff before. I believe that nation was impacted big time. I got on the radio, spoke to the whole nation. I spoke to married couples, you know, all kinds of married couples. I spoke to 500 people, I don't know, in churches. Spoke to 30, 40 pastors. I got to do everything I wanted to do. We have 210 orphans that are there. We bought them 60 beds. They already have them. So that's 60 more kids sleeping in a bed instead of on the floor. Their bull died when we were there. Somebody's already offered to buy a brand new bull that are very expensive. So now they got a new bull for their cows. So everything is great. God is so good. It's good. We blessed that nation, and that nation blessed us. If you talk to the two ladies that went, oh, man, they were both so blessed. Rosemary just cried every day. She just cried. She's never been so touched and so loved in her whole life. It's what she's been looking for. She's traveled around the world, tried to find peace or something or other. And when she found these little kids running up, there was 200 kids running across the orphanage farm. There's a big farm there they have. And they're running toward you. You know, it's just so neat. It just thrills you. Because they think you are coming with blessing. They just know it. They call us Mzungu. this old white man, David and I would call each other Mzungu. And if we misbehave, we call Mudugabu. You are Mudugabu, because you're a black man, because you're cursed. And so if the little kids would run along the car, if they'd see a Mzungu, they would run along the car, Mzungu, Mzungu! They would run up to see you, because they don't see white people too often. And they'd see him, and it was like a big thing to them. And it's kind of, it's not a put down, but it's kind of like they know they're not Mzungu. So they, Mzungu, Mzungu! They just tell everybody. So I'd lean out the window, Mudugabu! A little black kid. That's a put down to them. Ooh, we didn't want to be Mudugabu. But they were having fun, kind of poking fun at us. Mzungu, Mzungu. I mean, adults would do it too. Ooh, Mzungu. They just, it's a big thing. Like, you caused all the problems. You're the reason we're down. It's great. We had a great time. I would say it was a miracle. I would say every single day, of course I'm an exaggerator, but I would say every single day was perfect. David, would you, you're not an exaggerator. Yeah. No, it was unbelievable. People got set free. Yeah, everything. It was unbelievable. Every meeting, every day, people were blessed. David, I've never heard David preach. We've been together 39 years. I've never heard him preach. First time I ever heard him preach. Then I heard him preach second time. Then I heard him preach third time. Same message, exactly the same message. And I had no idea he was always preaching the same message, exactly. But it was great. And every time he preached it, it was good. It was powerful, set people free. And they didn't want me anymore. They wanted David. I sent that other man. He was good. Mzungu, that Mzungu, he was good. And they just loved it. He went to one church where there were maybe 35 or something in my church, and David had 300 and some. And I said, oh, I should have gone to that one, David. You should have gone to this one. Say, David got the better one. Do you all see the humor of that? Now, they did not want me to come anymore. And the last time I was there, I went to their church, and I was so excited. And so they all gathered together. And then it's David. Oh, David. Then when they heard him, they went, wow, forget Jim. We want David. So it's great. So he went back the next day, and it was great. David got just to give his messages over and over again. And people loved it. So wherever we went, we were favored. We were treated like kings. It was beautiful. We didn't get sick on the water. We didn't have to eat their local food. You know, we were spoiled. They took us to ShopRite, you know, an American-type place to eat and everything. It was great. Couldn't have been better. Couldn't have been better. Yes. Yeah, we have for a long time. Yeah. Yeah, he'll be here. He may be here in a couple weeks. The pastor, his name is Joel Bukenya. He's a big guy. And he calls me daddy. So I'm his father. So he's my son right here. And he says, everything I preach and teach, that man taught me. So that's pretty big. In Africa, when you say that, because he has about 30 sons in Africa, people that look up to him. And he took us to those churches. He said, this is the man I look to. What he teaches on marriage, that's what I teach. And after I would get done preaching, every time he would say, I believe everything he said 100%. That's powerful. Because he's a leader there. He's big. He has 12 churches of his own, plus 30, 40, which are not his own, but they're under him. They're under a satellite kind of system. The others are actually his churches, but he's got his people all over the country. Got a whole bunch in the capital, and then he's got a whole bunch out in the boondocks. Oh, some of the most beautiful settings. You can't imagine the beauty of that country. It's gorgeous. The Nile River, that's Jinja. Jinja is where remember there was a guy named David Livingston, and he met another guy. Remember that? Does anybody remember that other guy? Dave, I was checking the people here. You know, because, yeah, as a test. Yeah, right. So anyway, Stanley is the guy that said to him, Dr. Livingston, I presume. You know, so that's that famous story. Well, that was right there. And we had a great meeting there. Great meeting. A woman, demon-possessed, cried out as soon as I began preaching. It was great, you know. Ah! So that's Africa. It's great. It's great. Everything happened that you could want to happen. But the main thing is We're going to have an ongoing relationship with Joel. I believe Joel, this is too big, but I believe Joel's the man I was supposed to be working with all along. And we see so eye to eye on everything. I can't imagine that there's anything we don't see eye to eye on. I'm just so amazed. When he tells a joke, it's the kind of joke I would tell, and I laugh. When he says something, it's the kind of thing I would have said. When I say something, that's what he would have said. It's unbelievable that there's such a unity that you cannot even describe how powerful it is. And it's like we really are tied together. And we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. It was really a joy to be there and to have him, you know, hand me the country, so to speak. And our team had a wonderful time. Our team got along beautifully. I mean, everything couldn't have been better. So we're going to go back next year and take a lot of our young people here from Fort Worth Church. And so we're getting them ready even now to go back, build a house over there, put a tin roof on a building, you know, fix up one of the dormitories for the kids, because they just got so many kids. Three things happened in Uganda. Idi Amin, he killed off huge amount of Christians, huge amount, so there'd be no church left. It would be a Muslim nation without any Christians in the country at all. Today, he's dead. The Christians are stronger than ever. The next thing that happened is AIDS. AIDS was created in Uganda. Killed off almost a fourth for sure, and maybe a third of the adult population. So you had Idi Amin killing off all the Christians. Then you had AID killing off all kinds of people. Then the next thing they had was a civil war, just finished a few years ago. That was the Sudanese from the north coming down into Uganda and killing off all the young people that had to go to that war and defend the country. So you lost all your young people. The median age now, 15 years old. That's the median age of anybody that you meet. Well, the church is stronger today. It's more powerful today than ever before. And yet they've suffered everything. And still, you know what they did when they suffered? Went to Jesus. Praise God. Gave him worship. You know, they didn't do it like the white man. Oh, woe is me, and so on. They just kept going. Just kept believing. Just kept praying. Just kept praising. That's the kind of church it is. It's powerful. I believe they will transform Africa. I really do. I've been to every country. I've been to all kinds of countries there. This is the one. I'm telling you, something powerful going on there. And it's backward. I mean, the ruts in the road, there aren't any roads. It's just spaces between houses. That's it. And it's all rutted. And you can hardly drive a car. You know, 10 miles would take you hours. You just can't get through the things. Because you're driving down even the biggest highway they've got, it's all potholes. So you're like this. You have to go over in the other guy's lane and, you know, nobody. And then down into deep gullies and up and so on and into ditches and everything. It's impossible. And not only that, but there's trucks on the road. There's bicycles on the road. There's people on the road. There's cattle on the road. You know, the thing is just, it's chaos. There's no way. It's so backward. The houses are made out of mud, sticks. The churches, they're just poles with some tin on the top and some kind of, you know, fabric on the walls, and that's about it. And then for chairs, they don't have pews like we have. They just have either Walmart plastic chairs or they just got a piece of wood that you all sit on. It's great. Primitive. So primitive. There's no tile. There's no nothing. It's just simply dirt. No. They got some stuff, but it's just nothing. Yeah. Yeah. People don't care. They don't even care about it. They are so energetic. You can just feel the energy of that community. You know, wherever you go, if you put your hand out the window and say, Hallelujah! Everyone. Hallelujah! You know, it's powerful. You can go right in the middle of any side. It used to be a Muslim-dominated culture. Now it's all Christian. Unbelievable. So we had a good time there. I lost my voice almost every day. I told David, you got to speak today for me. I can't speak. Of course, he didn't buy that. So anyway, but it's amazing because you're shouting a lot because they love shouting. They can worship for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And they can, David, how long can they beat those drums? They'll tire out one drummer and another little kid will get up, 8 years old. You know, he'll start beating on that thing. Just as good as the one that was 35, you know, and another one will get up. They are musical people. They love God. And now it's all shallow. It's not deep teaching. But I brought them deep teaching, and they loved it. David, I thought David's teaching. I told him, I can't even imagine anyone understanding what you said, but they loved it. He brought together so many scriptures into one thing. I said, David, there's no way they're going to grasp what you're talking about. And they said, oh, good teaching. They loved it. And they not only got a hold of it, they could apply it right then and there on the spot. So who knows? Yeah, it got longer and better. It did. It really did. It was powerful. God's good. Have a good day.